Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to this edition of our English feature program. I'm Philippa Hitchin. Coming up today, a new documentary film with unpublished archive material marks the 50th anniversary of the Second Vatican Council. A new Catholic communications network offers answers to seekers of the truth. And a Muslim Christian seminar in Istanbul aims to diffuse tensions and promote a daily dialogue of life. The Second Vatican Council as you've never seen it before. That's what the Pontifical Council for Social Communications is offering through a new documentary film being released to mark the 50th anniversary of the Council on October the 11th this year. Archbishop Claudio Celi, a young theology student during the years of Vatican II, currently heads the Pontifical Council for Social Communications. He told me more about the film and its contents.
Qual è stato il risultato del Concilio? È stato recepito nel modo giusto?
We were trying to give the opportunity to many people, especially the young generations who know nothing about the Vatican Second Council, to give the opportunity to show a lot of material, some films. Consider that in the Filmoteca Vaticana we have around 200 hours of filming of the Vatican Second. And we thought that was good to offer such an opportunity to people to know what happened. And also we were going around looking in the Vatican archives to have some new things. For example, in our film, you will listen at the intervention of Bishop Karol Wojtyła. In the intervention in the council, it is a speech in Latin.
Gaudet Mater Ecclesia.
And we thought that was good to listen, knowing that Karol Wojtyła became John Paul II.
Dear sons and daughters, today John Paul II presents himself to you for the first time.
Afterwards, also, we were looking for the original documents signed by all the bishops present. So, really, we were trying to do our best to offer a great opportunity to know some aspects of that special event. But it was not only concerning the Church, but the world, because we can say that some reflections of the Vatican Second have a special value for the human life.
It's not just material of the sessions of the Council, but it's also, in a very special way, behind the scenes, isn't it? It shows preparations.
Exactly. You will perceive at the beginning of the film will be the historical background. The problem is to see in 1959, when John 23rd was announcing the Council, what was the historical situation of the world. I consider that in that century we had two world wars, the Cold War. And so you can imagine what was the impact, the effect of the announcement done by John the 23rd. And I think that this is important to have an historical overview of the situation and also the theological overview. Because the Church certainly was living some moments also in its theological development. And so we were thinking that it was good to give an insight. Afterwards, we have nice interviews. Consider, for example, the interview with Monsignor Capovilla, who was the private secretary of Blessed John 23rd. And he was having with us 1 hour of interview. And is referring some particulars, some special moments that were unknown.
Sapevo che Papa Giovanni era un bambino curioso.
Cari figlioli, sento le vostre voci.
If you remember, in during the night of the 11th of October 1962, when the council was open in the morning with almost 3,000 bishops for the first time. Such an event was gathering so many bishops from all over the world. In the evening, some Catholic movements here in Italy organized a special presence in the St. Peter's Square with lamps, with some candles enlightened. And really, St. Peter's Square was enlightened by thousands of people.
Ma se vedesse la piazza, sembra incendiata.
La mia è una voce.
Dice, come incendiata? Sono 100.000 fiaccole accese.
And Monsieur Capovilla is recalling us that this was unthinkable for the Pope.
Veramente, la piazza sembra incendiata.
So, nothing was set. Also, the film of that evening is very poor because was not prepared.
Mi dice delicatamente, fa così, do la benedizione e basta, non parlo.
And it's interesting because Monsieur Capovilla is recalling us that the Holy Father told him, I will go to the window, but I will say nothing. I'm just only giving a blessing. And all of us, we know what Blessed John the 23rd told that evening, the famous speech of the moon.
Si direbbe che persino la luna si è affrettata stasera a guardare a questo spettacolo.
And it's interesting because what he says was not prepared, was really coming out from his heart.
Spontaneously.
And is one of the most famous interventions of the Pope, really talking to us, but also the moon itself was happy of what was happening during the day. And if you remember, is the moment when he says, when you're going home, give a kiss to your children, is the kiss of the Pope.
Tornando a casa, troverete i bambini. Date una carezza ai vostri bambini. E dite, questa è la carezza del Papa.
And certainly we are trying to give in this film as much as possible some insights. And so we were inviting 14 people, cardinals, one patriarch, one archbishop, asking them to present the documents of the Vatican II. As you know, we have 16 documents. And so we were asking people from different countries, so with different cultural perspectives. And I would say a simple evaluation of the documents, trying to explain to us what was the meaning of the document in that moment, but also the value of the document for today. And so you can imagine it's not just only a celebration, such a docufilm. But it is just to help people to rediscover the value of the Vatican II. Because, as the Holy Father, Pope Benedict, told recently, the documents of the teaching of the Vatican II has not yet spread all the possible fruits. And so I think that the invitation is not only to rediscover something of the past, but to see how some elements of the documents of the Vatican II could be of help today for the Church and for the world.
Tell us a little bit of the details. Which languages will this film be available in? Where can we find it?
The idea is this, that now we are preparing a film of 1 hour and 50 minutes. And we are offering this to televisions around the world. And so we are making translations. It means it will be offered at least in English, in French, in Spanish. But we are thinking also to prepare some DVD. Because, for example, these interviews, as I was telling you, Monsieur Capovilla is talking for more than 1 hour. And in the film will appear only few minutes. But we think that such an interview is so important, so rich, that it's a pity to lose it. And so the same is for some other cardinals. And so we are thinking to prepare some DVD, and everybody has the possibility to read or to listen and to watch to all the interviews.
As a special feature of the DVD.
Exactly. And so we are thinking really to offer the possibility to have 1, 2, 3, 4 DVD, because we have around 12 hours of filming. And so we are in a position, for example, now from the States, they are requesting us the preparation of probably 4 DVD. And so really we are in a position to adjust our proposal to the needs or to the requests that we are going to receive.
Thanks there to Archbishop Claudio Celi, President of the Pontifical Council for Social Communications. Quality communication, ethical advertising, increased solidarity. Those are the extremely ambitious goals of a new social media network named after the Greek word for truth, aletheia. Launched here in Rome on September the 20th, shortly before the start of the Synod on New Evangelization, the network seeks to become an important and trusted tool for spreading the Church's message, while supporting those struggling to make ends meet in the Catholic media world. Launching in Italian, English, Arabic, French, Spanish and Portuguese, the site brings together the best of Catholic news and information on the web, but also provides what it calls a vital question and answer community for all seekers of the truth. Spanish journalist Jesus Colina is chairman of the new network, as well as serving as a consultant to the Pontifical Council for Social Communications. He told me more about how the idea for Aletheia was born.
People today are looking for answers in internet. Also questions on faith, not only on recipes for kitchen, but also they are looking for who is God, who is Christ, how to pray, there is life after the death, and what they find. Let's try and let's Google, for example, who is Jesus. You can try and you will see that in the first screen of Google, you will not find any Catholic answer.
Who will you find?
You will find some Christian denominations, some general services as Wikipedia, some Muslims services, but there is no Catholic site. Why? And this is the same for prayer, for church. For example, if you try to Google church, you will see as first suggestion the Church of Scientology. Today, the Catholic Church is maybe the biggest community in internet, more than 1 billion, but our presence in the search engines is very, very little.
Why is this?
Because we are fragmented. There are beautiful initiatives. There are quality services. There are a lot of activities, people very active in internet, but we are small, we are divided. So we think that we need to create a network where the best Catholic resources could be easily accessed. And this is Aletheia. Aletheia is, in one hand, a network of the Catholic media outlets, institutions, movements, communities that offer the best of their production. And in the other hand, the seekers of the truth. I mean, the people that are going to the search engines, the social media, searching for truth. And our goal is to create this bridge.
Do you feel that you're offering something different from many other Catholic organizations who are already trying to do the same thing, to bring together the many Catholic resources on the web?
In fact, we don't want to replace them. We want to support them. We are not launching a new site. We are launching a network. And we are very happy, very, very happy to announce that today in this network there are more than 1,000 partners. 1,000 radio stations, TV stations, web pages, Catholic newspapers. They are together at the beginning in 6 languages to offer the best of their resources to the people that are searching in internet. So we are not in competition. We are at the service of all these initiatives that today are working in the field in internet.
What about the relationship with the Vatican?
We are at the service of all the Catholic community, so we have also very good relationships with the Vatican dicasteries and all the institutions. But we are a lay initiative. We are launched by the foundation through the evangelization through the media, which is a new initiative where different Catholic religious congregations and communities work together to find new languages and new initiatives in the media for the new evangelization.
What about the financing for all this?
Yes, it is the foundation of the evangelization through the media. We have started this initiative thanks to the generosity of one of the members of the foundation, the Association Mary of Nazareth. They have built a theme park, an attraction park in Holy Land about the Bible, about the history of salvation. And now they want to engage themselves in this new initiative. And we have received also donations from private persons. So at the beginning, this is the possibility that we have to start. But in the future, we think that we will receive donations from other Catholic people in the world.
You said at the beginning the Catholic presence is very fragmented on the web. It's also true that there's a very diverse Catholic voice.
Yes.
How do you hope to represent perhaps this rich diversity of Catholicism?
Diversity is also richness. I mean, if today there is not a big Catholic media, because we are a lot of Catholic media but small, this is also a positive thing. So the risk here is to suppress this diversity. The diversity is needed in culture. It is not the same an American person than French. It is normal also to have different sensibilities, different
ideologies.
Yes, in perspectives, points of view in the church, and we are all Catholic. For us, we don't want to become a school. We don't want to give a line. When there is a pronunciation of the magisterium about one single issue, we will refer the magisterium. But after, with the new tools for the social media that we are offering, the people, they will continue their conversation and they will exchange their point of views. Sometimes in the church, there is no one clear position. So in this case, we don't want to give a point of view. We want to express the different points of view of views about the question. So for us, one of priorities is to be representative of this diversity of the church, to be at the service and to give them three things. First, traffic. We want to bring them a public audience, giving communication, social media action. Second, we give them content, quality content. All the Catholic web pages today are searching for quality content. And third and most original thing, we are giving revenues. Today, for the Catholic initiatives in internet, the life is difficult because the advertising is a difficult source of revenue. So if you want to have a normal advertising company, you cannot control your clients. So we are giving a new platform friendly for the Catholic audience, which is with a code of ethical principles. And this is why we call this platform Ad Ethics. I mean advertising with an ethical value. But, which is for me a new thing, is also an initiative with a solidarity, with a spirit of solidarity, because part of the revenues will be given to association charities. So a blogger could have revenues thanks to the publicity and will also help with solidarity spirit to other initiatives around the world. Maybe this third element, the advertising platform, is maybe the best help that we can offer today to the Catholic media.
You've been in this business, Jesus, for over 20 years, haven't you, in Catholic communications. Do you think that the Church is today making real progress, or is it still really struggling to get its voice heard?
I think that in the history is as a river, and we are in the stream. And I think the Church also is in the stream. You know very well the Vatican 20 years ago, and you know the Vatican today. There have been changes. And in internet, we are discovering a new mentality in the Church. It's true that we need to be always further. The Church is also wise, so sometimes needs to have a reflection on what is good and what is superficial. But I think the Church is changing, but we don't understand now all the changes that we need to do. We are in the Web 2.0. I mean, in a philosophy of community where the content is created by the audience. This is a new thing for the Church. It's totally revolutionary. And the Church is starting to play the game. It's incredible. Now it's normal to see the official Vatican channel in YouTube. 10 years ago, it was impossible to imagine something like this.
Unthinkable.
So there are real changes, but this game goes too fast, and we are running behind.
Final question, most important one. Where can we find Aletheia? What is the best way? What's the best way to find it?
This is a good question. So you can go to aletheia.org or seekersofthetruth.org. Maybe it's easier for you. But it is important to understand that we are not a site. We are a network. So if you type in Facebook, in Twitter, in all the social media, you will find Aletheia, because we are launching one unique thing. It is a social button, as Facebook I like. And this button is a fish. This fish permits yourself to communicate with one post in all your social media, and all the social media are connected, and the debate is continuous in all the social media. It's cross social media. So I think our presence will be more important in the future in the social media than in the web. But today, maybe it is easier to go to aletheia.org or seekersofthetruth.org.
Thanks there to Jesus Colina, chairman of the Aletheia.org network and a consultant to the Pontifical Council for Social Communications. A two-day seminar on Muslim-Christian dialogue takes place in the Turkish capital of Istanbul this weekend, exploring the theme of being a foreigner and dialogue with the other. Organised for the past decade by the different religious communities in the city, the meeting this year takes place in the Franciscan Church of Saint-Étienne and enjoys the support of the Journalists and Writers Foundation of Istanbul. The seminar comes as world leaders continue to condemn the violent reactions to a US-made video which mocks Islam and the Prophet Muhammad. So is there any way an encounter of this kind can help to diffuse tensions and promote better understanding beyond the purely academic world? To try and find out, I spoke to one of the participants at the Istanbul meeting, Mustafa Cenap Aydin, director of Rome's Istituto Tevere for Interfaith Dialogue.
Yeah, I'm the director of the center. It's a center for interreligious, intercultural dialogue, founded in 2007. I'm one of the co-founders. And we are coming, you know, as the founders and the members of this, we are coming from Istanbul, Anatolia, another Rome, second Rome. And we are trying to combine, actually, also the richness that we are just bringing from Anatolia, from our Anatolian background, here to this universal Catholic city, to promote an idea of, I would say, peaceful coexistence among diversities, not only in Rome, but in the world, of course.
You're heading to Istanbul for this Muslim-Christian symposium, again, focusing on dialogue, focusing on the stranger, the foreigner in our midst. Tell us a little bit about the aims of this meeting.
Actually, this meeting is a particular meeting, just organized like since around 2002. But this time, yes, the focus will be on the very meaning of foreigner, stranger, in Christianity and in Islam. And this meeting is not only, you know, aiming to discuss and, you know, subject matter. It's important, of course. But also this meeting becomes a milieu in which you can also have a dialogue of life between Christians and Muslims of the city. This meeting is very much supported by the local Catholics, Dominicans, Jesuits, three families of the Franciscan order, Conventuali Cappuccini de Minors, and Focolarini, all different Catholic groups involved to promote an idea of dialogue in this city, Second Rome. And also, next year, actually, we will celebrate this, again, the historical meeting between Patriarch Athenagoras and the Paul VI. So this city also is a very important for ecumenical dialogue. So also to this meeting, invited, of course, the other Christians of the city, like Armenians, Greek Orthodox, and different Protestants. And what is important, I was just before, it's also, you know, it's sharing moments of life. It's a two-day symposium. It's not organized in a hotel. It's not organized in a big congress hall, but it's organized around the church. It's Church of Saint Etienne. That church is belongs to the Cappuccini friars in Istanbul. And it has, you know, eating together in the convent of the church. And two moments for me is very important. The first moment is, it's a two-day trip. First day is Friday. And the whole participants of the meeting, they are invited by the local imam of the neighborhood to the Friday prayer. And then second and Saturday, within the church, sometimes there's a mass or there is a prayer time for the whole participants. And then I will say, this is my experience, I've been there several times also before, coming different also Muslim families to this meeting. For them, it's maybe the very first experience to attend a mass. And one of them just telling me, I remember very well, a woman, I said, it's my first time that I entered the church. And he asked me, okay, you have been living in Rome for many years. Could you tell me, please, is it the correct thing to enter a church or not? I said, it's perfectly okay. And just because, you know, also Islam is talking about many times, Quran, very positive about Christians, about Virgin Mary and Jesus Christ. So, but this is the theoretical level. But, you know, if they don't have this experience, the very first experience with Christians, as I mentioned, a dialogue of life, they could really not just also exercise the theoretical knowledge into their life. And this also moments of sharing, I guess, one of the most important dimensions of this meeting.
Thanks there to Mustafa Chenap Ayadin, director of Rome's Istituto Tevere for Interfaith Dialogue. And that's all from me, Philippa Hitchin, and from all of us here at the English programme for today. But just before we go, a message from the head of the English programme, Sean Patrick Lovett, about some novel ways of listening to Vatican Radio if you have an Android smartphone.
If you have an Android smartphone, visit our website and download Vatican Radio's first app. It's free. Go to www.radiovaticana.va and click on the icon in the upper right-hand corner.
You're listening to Vatican Radio. Laudetur Jesus Christus.